This podcast is supported by a brand new Broadway musical that literally sounds like the show I've been waiting for all of my life. It's called MJ, and it's not about Michael Jordan, although that would be cool too. It's all about the one and only Michael Jackson. MJ the musical takes audiences behind the scenes of the Dangerous Tour to witness the creative process of this one-of-a-kind artist and one of the greatest entertainers in history. And just an FYI, I've been hearing some amazing things about the production. The creative team are some major theater and music heavyweights, including two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Lynn Nottage and Rich and Tone Talawega, who danced with Michael himself. Plus, I got a chance to see the song list, and let me tell you all something. It is incredible. Every song you love. Every song I love. 25 of Michael's biggest hits. Trust me, this is going to be huge. Now, in previews at the Neil Simon Theater in the heart of New York City, get more info and tickets at mjthemusical.com.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. Baby, all I want for Christmas is you.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need, and I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, all that you could ever know. Whoa, ha, ha, whoa, ha. Whoa, ha, whoa, ha, whoa, ha. Whoa, ha. That is chaotic, nigga.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Blackest Show About Nothing. It's Jaden XD. I am XD, aka Mr. Ho Ho Ho.
I'm Jade, aka the nodules on Mariah Carey's throat.
Oh my god.
He was talking about voice shit last week. I just imagine Mama's had a couple surgeries by now, I'm sure, huh?
I believe so. Yeah. And, you know, also Mariah, outside of singing stuff, you know, she loves to partake in
the libations that we do. Oh, okay.
You never saw that video of that interview with one of your cousins? Wait, which one are you related to?
We're not going to talk about that.
Also, we didn't even talk about the verses. No, somebody reminded us.
Oh. First of all, I'm not going into that business because we're not going to do that here. Okay. I'll talk to you off air. It is not Brian, aka Busy, but we can talk about it for a second.
Listen, what I wanted to say when we brought this up. When I was watching it, I was like, Ozone Fest.
Oh, nigga.
Hey, before we even get started, you ugly motherfuckers ain't finna be mocking me while I'm on motherfucking stage. Like, straight the fuck up.
Nigga, suck my dick.
And gangsta boo.
Suck my dick.
Hey, first and foremost, I just want to tell you ugly motherfuckers, y'all ain't gonna be. When I tell you that got you going.
Yeah.
And I was losing my mind.
I don't know what was worse, that or when Shocker walked off the stage and said, fuck this shit. I know that one was sad. This was funny.
Because Gangsta Boo came back with some real problematic ass shit that
we can't really talk about
it. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. I laughed at the whole thing. Oh no, that was out loud.
Yeah.
From the first moment, they're like, "What's problematic for you to call people ugly too?" It is.
Mm-hmm. Don't but mean it's not funny.
It don't mean it's not funny, and it don't mean I don't call niggas ugly.
Yeah, because it's the simplest, most rude, like
intro. Yo, and it was the way it was done. Hey, first and foremost, you ugly motherfuckers. I was like, ah, it's starting, nigga. The gunshot, and they continued to blaze on both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides. And I was dying laughing because I see somebody's tweet talking about Juicy J. They said, stop inviting people to your manhood. Because yeah, Juicy J said, suck my dick.
Yeah. That's what they're good at.
But I mean, sometimes, you know, I like to invite niggas to my manhood. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's been an appropriate response.
I mean, true. I say it all the time.
I love just it, actually.
I say it all the time. I said it to LADWP yesterday when I was out of power for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
First of all, let me tell you. You know, there are moments where I did not have a lot of money growing up, right? Or I didn't have a lot of money growing up here, but there are moments where I really, you know, things were tough, you know? And so
there'd be moments. Nanny go. I'm sorry. I could resist.
He brought that shit up the other day too. As we were talking about like family, he was like, did you get your whammy a Christmas gift?
So did she make you pancakes every Monday or was that every Tuesday? Okay, sorry, we're gonna leave you alone. Sorry.
Nancy.
Go ahead. Go back to your story about when you was poor. Sorry. Go ahead. I can laugh because I was poor too.
Trauma bonding. But you know how, like, when you finally get a little bit of money in your pocket and then you get, like, nervous when shit, like, go left? So, like, with the power now, I was like, bitch, should I pay my light bill?
You know that's always the
question. You know what I mean? I was just like, oh, no. But I don't know. Something happened. My whole entire block was out. Yeah.
Some ugly motherfucker was setting
shit on fire for a cotton picking minute. You see what I mean?
For a cotton picking minute.
Listen. Oh my goodness. How was your week? Miss Estudiante.
Yo, escuela. I'm in that bitch. It was good. You know, I'm enjoying it. I am ready for my break. Not for school already, but just in general. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit on the burnt out side. I'm not going to hold you. So I am looking forward to that time off. But it's been really good, and it's been really nice getting back into this flow. I got to finish this paper tonight when we're done with all of these hours of recording.
I won't keep you too long.
No, I know. It's, you know, this is the job. Yeah. And I did have my first unpleasant class. It was for everybody though. Let me be specific. One of the restaurant instructors or whatever. Some opening restaurants and shit. We had a course. It wasn't our normal instructor because we all love him. But this man loved the sound of his own goddamn voice. So at a certain point, he goes over all these things in the class. He's going over all the percentages, what this takes to open a restaurant, how much of this percentage is food cost, how much is waste, how much overhead, how much is this, blah, 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 your profit margins, so forth and so on. And so he's going over all this stuff, but he asks you these questions. Instead of just going over the information, he asks you questions. So what do you think this is, right? And that's fine if you're trying to be engaging. Mm-hmm. But nigga, don't ask 8 or 9 people the same goddamn question because you're not happy with the results. Ain't nobody here to teach this class but you.
Right.
We here to learn this class, nigga, not teach this class. So he's sitting up here, so going over the whole thing, and then at the end of the thing, he makes everybody say what their dream is for why they're in this program, because nobody's in this program just for fun. It's too expensive. Well, how do you know? XD had a nanny. But anyway, so... Said to slide it in or something. They should have never gave you niggas money or information.
And for the record, my mother explained to you on the phone and well, on this show.
I don't care. I don't care.
If you want to go back and I forgot what episode where we posted, but my mother called and she explained because she said, oh, the biracial.
She's a biracial girl. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know she was biracial. I forgot.
No, remember because...
Yeah,
she said the daughter... It's a long story, but no, she wasn't. But no, I didn't have a whammy. I had a babysitter who happened to be white, who took me places and took care of me after school for an extended period of time.
Ah! Scarlett Johansson! So anyway... So, you know, this nigga's asking everybody their dreams, and then you are obligated to ask him one question. Because he was a restaurateur for 25 years, right? He owned 2 restaurants, and then he, you know, just consults or whatever. So, you are obligated to ask this man a question. Now, why the hell I gotta ask you? I don't have no questions.
That's some self-suckery right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was real. Like, yeah, it really was. It was real Marilyn Manson. Let me remove my ribs and then pleasure myself.
That's hella masturbatory.
Okay. Okay. And that's not masturbation shame. That's just what he was doing.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
So...
Getting high off his own supply.
So one of my classmates is like, I don't have a question right now. Can you come back to me? Thinking he was gonna skate. Why right before the man said we was about to go, he goes, oh, your question, you forgot. He don't have one.
Wow.
So he asked me so he got to me for the dreams, and I said, well, I'm here for technique and technique only. So you don't have nope. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to know. No. And he's like, okay. So at the end...
You can't share your dreams with white people because they'll steal them.
Exactly. I'm not sharing it with you. Absolutely not. And so I said, don't have any dreams. I'm here for technique and fun. So at the very end of the hill, well, so what did you all learn from this class? And he makes everybody go through an answer. And me and 2 other people said, we learned that we don't ever want to open a motherfucking restaurant. Good day. So he was just the worst. You know, nothing is worse than somebody masturbating in front of you. And
well, yeah,
unless it's, you know, what you want. Put your goddamn cock away.
Oh, I miss New York.
Oh man. Yeah, because there'll be 2 things here.
Yeah.
Yeah, niggas actually masturbate in front of you in a train station. It's fine. It's fine.
Did you ever watch this is when Bravo is cool now, but at the amazing stages of early Bravo TV with like Bing Bobby Brown, there used to be a show called The Restaurant.
I'm Rocco Despirito, and I'm one of those fancy New York City chefs.
Ordering 2 TaylorMade beets followed by salmon campanile.
You wouldn't think an Italian-American from Jamaica, Queens, would make his name cooking French food in a 3-star...
And it was with...
How meta.
I know. Tell you, when I open up my own coffee shop, it's going to be called Bean. Or coffee.
Yeah, I fucking hate their names. Yeah. Like the mustache and the grandpa. What the fuck does that mean? We serve artisanal beef.
Like toad and crack. And they serve like pastries.
And grin pipes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like if you go, like, you know, when you go, I don't know if they do that in New York now, but like if they have like these random ghost kitchens here. It'll be like this random burger spot. It'll be like, you know, rip your asshole burger, like 97.
Yeah, and that's the kind of shit that they be naming them hot sauces and shit.
Or like, there's a spot in here like California, but it's like they. It's supposed to be like pho, but I'm like, you don't even say pho, it's pho.
It's pho.
So I'm like, that's California. How I know it's nasty. Yeah, California. I know that's not, it's nasty. I'm not going to eat at nobody's pho restaurant if it don't have a number in the title.
No, my hard rule is don't eat at anything that has a chicken and burger. I can't do it. If it says a blah, blah, blah chicken and burger, nope, nigga, I'm not doing it.
So, but my point was, so restaurant was with Chef Rocco. He was like this little pretty boy chef that used to be a chef at the Standard or whatever.
Heffa.
Anyway, he got his own restaurant. And he opened it with Carla Lolly Music. I talk about her sometimes. She used to be over down at Bon Appetit before they got racist.
Oh, okay. Well,
before they were exposed that they're racist. She's not racist. Okay. She's also like, she had all the drag queens on her segments, so like she had Trixie and Shangela and all that, you know, she's down and she lives,
she's a biracial girl.
So anyway, it's her, Carly Lolly Music, and a couple bunch of people, and they're opening this restaurant in Gramercy Park, right?
Okay.
So the whole series, you can find it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not like official. Like, it's just people uploaded the shit. And it's the whole two seasons are how chaotic it is to open a restaurant. And the end of the series was the restaurateur ended up suing Chef Rocco because he didn't know what the fuck he was doing for like millions of dollars and shut him out.
See?
Yeah. It was wild. I encourage you to watch it. It's so interesting.
Maybe that's one thing.
Episodes on here on Patreon.
The man said in the class, that's the one thing he did say. He said chefs don't know how to open restaurants half the time. But it'd be a lot of niggas who don't know how to open restaurants. Chefs.
Yeah.
It'd be people who ain't never been in the food industry before. Ain't never served. They never did nothing. Back of the house, front of the house, nothing. So they don't know shit about shit, but want to tell you what to do. And you've been doing this shit for years. It's always some idiot opening up a restaurant.
I don't want to open up a restaurant. I want to open up like... I want to be like Mrs. Fields.
Well, that's different. But then...
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, wasn't that a bitch who made cookies before she...
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, something really... Like, you know how people would just like own a bakery or something. Something small and niche, right? Like,
yeah.
Having a whole restaurant, having to like... That's a whole ordeal. Like, yeah. From at least with Mrs. Fields, they just have people, you know, niggas who work behind the counter and put shit in the oven. You have to worry about like waiters and tips. Like, that's just way too merch, you know?
It's so and I do not recommend anybody who wants to open a spot needs to at least go do a little while of not training, but like actually go work.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
In the service industry.
Yes, because the biggest thing we've learned watching Kitchen Nightmares is people who just open up restaurants because they think it's easy and it's their dream or whatever, not realizing that the insane amount of work that goes into opening a restaurant, let alone maintaining it. But just to open, it's $9 zillion
and
9 zillion hands that it takes to, you know, open a successful one. So, I totally agree with you. Having some core basis of what food is, because a lot of people open restaurants and their food is nasty.
Yeah.
And they might be really good business people, but they're convinced that their food is good. Because, you know, they grew up on their grandma's or their big mama's cooking and they think it's, you know, supposed to taste that way.
Exactly. And that ain't it. And your big mama couldn't cook that good.
And that was the problem with Chef Rocco. Chef Rocco was a classically trained French chef, but made his mama the head chef, who was just a cook and did Italian. So why are you the executive chef and you're classically trained and you open an Italian bistro? That don't make sense, Carol. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. But anywho, that's enough of rambling. We do that enough on this show.
Yes, we do. That's all it is.
First things first, thank you all for listening. As always, you can find us on the Patreon for the $7 holla. Thank you for continuing to support us. Sign up. There's a lot of good stuff there, over 300 posts and counting. Give it as a stocking stuffer, you know. We're entertaining. We're better than cable. We should be on cable. We are cable. And if you aren't able to support us with the $7 holly, you could easily go on to the YouTube and click the subscription button as well as the notification bell to know whenever we post something new. I will say this time around, normally we cover the 90 Day Fiancé episodes on YouTube, but we did something special, and so now you gotta watch them on Patreon. We did a whole watch with Chris Rogers, and it was a good time.
It was a fun time.
Up now, and yeah. And of course, tell a friend that we're everywhere you can find your podcast. We are now officially on iHeartRadio. So if you're looking for us on iHeartRadio, we are now on their net. And am I missing anything? Am I missing anything?
We're going to take a little time off.
They won't know that, though.
No? Oh. Okay.
No. they won't know. Maybe. Patreon will know, but, you know, people won't know. We have things coming out, so no.
Oh, okay, well, then never mind. Fine.
We just won't be recording. We'll be off, but, you know, the show must go on.
Oh, okay, yes.
There will be programming throughout the winter, the next few weeks.
Ignore everything I just said.
I also may go live, you know, we'll see.
I meant as far as the show, but...
Oh, but even still, we still have to record.
Well, then I'm going to shut my mouth.
To record tomorrow. wait, what's today? Anyway, I think today is Wednesday. It's not Wednesday. Anywho, my life has been a wreck. What did I do this week?
What did you do this
week? I was like, did I tell you my week? I didn't have... it's still a sneaky spiral of hate going on. First, my bathroom lights went out, and I have lights in there. And the thing is, they're tricky. I couldn't replace them myself because of the fixture, so they had to come in. But it was difficult because I had to change my whole, like, I had to email property management to change my email login because when I got locked out because I used my old email account, it was just way too much. And so they finally came. He came in without a mask on, which was also wild.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
We were masked up. We're just like, oh, no.
Don't do that.
But, sneaky spiral here. But everything is cool now, I guess. I'm alive. I'm here. Still waiting for my powers for my booster shot. So, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah,
your January whatever the fuck powers they were talking about. What date was that?
It was December. It was supposed to be like December 21st or something like that.
Oh, I got mine.
I'm just saying. I ain't really feel nothing last time, but I just hope my superpowers are activated with this booster. You know, shout out to 5G.
Where is Carrie Hilson?
On All Black, the All Black streaming channel.
The fuck is that? What the fuck is that?
It's where they stream Life After Lockup and Love After Lockup.
Oh. The rebranding of a program that we already knew. How has it been? And for people who haven't experienced it yet, what will they see on the streaming service?
Listen, well, I appreciate that. We are very excited about what we are offering to the community. We have,
like, if you notice that you can't, I mean, yes, you can find it on the Wii app, but they advertise after the end of every episode, stream all new episodes on All Black. And it's like ALLBLK.
Of course it's Blick.
Yeah.
All Blick. Everything is Blick now.
Yeah, and, but she has like Carrie Hilson has programming on there.
You know, there's black people and then there's black people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Black.
Black
BLKPPL.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Who live in Brooklyn with an R.
Yeah, with the E and a U. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Enough of that.
But anyway, let's take a break and we'll be back after these messages. Hit a clock.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Jaden, it's D. This is Ken. I want to thank you guys for letting me leave this voicemail for my beautiful queen, Nandi Manning, Miss Nandi of UX Her, on this very special day. I just want to tell you happy birthday on your favorite podcast. I hope that this day brings you nothing but love and joy, and we continue to spend more birthdays together. Thank you again, Jaden XT.
Amen.
Real funny, Dad. Make me look like a stupid idiot in front of the whole family.
It wasn't funny.
You do this all the time. My sarcasm makes me look stupid.
Jess, all we want is a job. That's all we need from you.
And I work for you. That's not a job. That's not good enough.
Yeah, that's good enough. That's plenty good enough.
Just say something out of your back.
And we're black. So the holidays are coming up.
Yeah.
And it's an awkward time for us all. And I know that a lot of times people focus on, like, you know, we're going to be home and family and presents and stuff. But we're not going to talk about that, kind of. We're here to focus on the chaos and negativity of what happens when your parents and family get around during the holidays.
And just all of the chaos and negativity around the holidays.
As much as I love it, I hate it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when I was a kid, I grew up as the only child, so it was great. So my cousins all came over, and I loved them. And I love them now. But, you know, as an only child, you know, as an introvert, it'd be like a lot.
Yeah, that's, yeah, so I can, like, get that. I understand.
Yeah, so I, you know, I'm king of the domain for most of the time at home, and then niggas want to stay all the way over for 2 weeks because all niggas had off for 2 weeks.
Mm.
So therefore, I'm just like, ooh.
Go home. Y'all don't have to be here for 2 weeks. Christmas is one day.
That's like, ooh.
Throw an Eve in there and maybe we'll spend two. But you all can go home.
Yeah, that's like, ooh.
You want to hear a chaotic Christmas story?
Sure.
Okay. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and I was working at Foot Action in college. So my parents had gotten on my nerves. I don't know if I told this story before. Bigly, they was working my nerves. I had gone to visit them for something, and I had to leave. I was like, all right, I'm going. I got to go home. I get a last minute update that we have to come into the store to do an audit. Now, if you've ever worked in retail and had to do an audit for your store, you know that it is a hellish time.
Yeah, it's top to bottom, everything.
Everything.
Has to be accounted for.
So, in a sneaker store like Foot Action, you've got, it is every pair of shoes, it is every pair of accessories, it is every accessory, it is every multiple, it is every shoe cleaner, it is every everything. And they told us this at the last minute because audits happen last minute, obviously, because they're trying to sneak up on you and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right before Christmas. So my parents are getting on my nerves, and I'm pissed that I got called in for this last minute audit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nighttime, and I'm driving to the store, and I'm driving down a street in which I have no light, no stop sign, no anything. And I'm not speeding. And there's a lady that's coming out of a parking lot off of that street. Now, you automatically know that when you are coming out of a parking lot, you have an automatic stop sign.
Yeah.
Because, or light. So that.
Because it's the way people, so you don't, there's no accidents.
Exactly. This bitch comes flying out the fucking parking lot to the point where I have to skirt my car and it spins out of control. It doesn't hit anything, but it spins. And I'm already on 100. So this is not like a screaming 100. This is like a I'm very quiet. And at this point, it's sudden death. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and this bitch spins me out of control. And she gets out of her car after, like, both of us had to do the veer and the whatever, whatever. And she gets out of her car, and this bitch proceeds to approach me, yelling and screaming and trying to call me out of my name. I ain't got no light.
What?
I ain't got no stop sign. I ain't speeding. We didn't hit each other. And you ran the stop sign that you had. But you talking to me crazy between that audit and my parents. My fury was strong.
The strength of the Black Panther.
The Blick. So she is approaching me, and she got just close enough with all of that rah-rah. And when I tell you, I snuffed that bitch something stupid. This was a long time ago. This is in college. I snuffed that bitch something dumb. Do you hear me? Like,
wow.
Something dumb. And ended up busting up my knuckles on her teeth. And
was wow. Like
a, so it was, but it was a, it was, baby, it was a knockout. It was a one hit wonder. Okay, it was a Lumidi, and I got back in my car and I drove to the store. So I get to the store.
Hit him with the
Lumidi. Okay. The one hit wonder. So hit him with the Nina Sky. So, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to call it. A Sunshine Anderson, a Blue Cat Trail. Bitch, I hit her with the one hit wonder. Tony Sunshine. Yeah.
What's the special? One hit. Puerto Rico.
So I get to the store, and my manager is my age. Okay, this is college retail. So I'm livid. So I go in there. Of course, I'm cussing this nigga out. That's why I had to make it known that it was important. He was my age. Actually, no. If he was an old nigga, he still would have got cussed out because I was irritated by this whole situation. And he looks down as he's having this little meeting with us. And when I tell you my hand was turning it to a baseball bitch.
Ooh, you had that
arm.
And
it was bleeding. And he was like, and he used to call me Onion, and I'm going to let y'all.
Sexual harassment.
Exactly.
That is harassment, Jade.
Oh, no, I know, nigga. I know. That's why I didn't have no problem cussing his ass out. So
I hope the people at Foot Action hear about this.
Nigga, this was 20 years ago.
It don't matter.
But you're right. It's inappropriate. But, oh, excuse me. That's my alarm that I have to do something. So, he looks down and he goes, Onion, what happened to your head? And I was like, don't ask me no motherfucking questions if you don't want it to happen to my other one.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went through a little bit of that audit. And then I used that hand as an excuse, and I left. And that's my that's my chaotic Christmas story.
Oh my gosh!
Mm-hmm.
The most chaotic part about this story is I don't know which part. It's
between, so much, so many parts.
It's so many. It's,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you. Ooh. In my mind. Silent night. Holy night.
They have the second best version. Well, they actually have the most Christian version, because the BBCC Winans version.
Oh, that's sexy. About lust.
That's the sexiest version of Silent Night.
Yeah.
I was like, woo.
Let's get ancestral, baby.
Just a little bit more sense than frankincense and myrrh and Buddhism.
Oh, whew. That lens to love is strong. What were you saying?
My chaotic Christmases came later in life when I abandoned my family for cock. So I, like most homosexuals do.
Can we call this episode "Put Your Goddamn Cock Away"?
No! Again, we still have MJ the musical.
Oh, you're right. Michael Joseph Jackson, you're ruining my good time.
But yeah, you know, most gays' life goes down the shitter when they find dick. So, anywho, when I was in college, I didn't go. Yeah, that was luck. That was.
Yeah.
You saw, I am funny.
You saw me. I look like SpongeBob. I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
So, shout out to Tossing Word Salad.
Okay.
one time. This is when I was living in Buffalo, and you know, shout out to the people who my homies from the 716. Y'all know that the homosexual lot there is sad. So you know, I decided to kick it with a local on Christmas, because you know, the homies went back to Brooklyn for the holiday, or they was with their nigga. Oh. Some other sad, you know, from the area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kicked it with this one gentle person that I found on one of the apps back then. This was like, it was Christmas 08 or something.
So this
like
might
that.
Have been an Adam for Adam.
Yeah, it
something along those
been
lines.
Like a BGC situation.
Oh, yeah, you know, all in the same realm.
Yeah, I don't think Jack was around back then. I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, they came over, and you know, at the time, you know, they were like, oh, it was cold, and so for whatever reason, gays feel like they don't get cold, so they came in with like a thin coat. So I was like, oh, I know what this type of person is and where this is gonna go.
That's real Caucasian.
Sure. So I knew what was about to happen. So they came over and they gave me their whole, like, it was like a trauma mirror. Like, it was like three episodes of like RuPaul's Drag Race, but like only in the trauma mirror.
No.
Like, they told me how, you know, they, you know, it was sad. Shit was fucked up for them growing up, and shit is fucked up for going for them now. But they were happy. So, you know, I'm like, oh God, okay, girl. Like, I thought you was gonna come over, we gonna chill and just watch A Diva's Christmas Carol.
No,
you know,
you thought.
Yeah, and I wasn't. You know, the intent wasn't to, you know, play hide and go get it or whatever. It was just like, you know, if you bored, you can come, you can have company, it's fine. Like, you know, come over, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
So he decides, like, we go outside, I get pizza, get wine, because I lived in like what would, like, Elmwood Village. So go back to my apartment, and, you know, everything was cool until, you know, they tell me, you know, I'm now, I preface this, I should have said, they told me that they were in a house and all this good stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. But then he tells me that he's on the down low. So then I was like, hold on a second. That don't go. You know what I mean?
In
my mind.
That don't
make any sense, Carol. You know what I mean?
No.
So, like, I was like, you know, I don't know what DL means to you, but I'm like, okay, if that's how you identify, I'm like, cool. So he asked if he could stay over, and I was like, you know, sure, it's cold, fine. And I guess you're taking public transit to get over here, so whatever. So he stays over, but he, like, keeps trying to, you know, do that 2 a.m. tap thing, and I'm like, nope, 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 get it off my back.
Yeah.
So, the next day, I check, you know, he leaves, I check to make sure that, nothing was stolen, because, you know. But the whole time, you know how you ever have, like, this feeling and be like, this person looks familiar, or I feel like I know this person from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be rude and be like, do I know you from somewhere? Because it's like, I know I didn't, because I've never heard his voice before, or whatever. So, but it kept bugging me for weeks and weeks later. So then, I happened to go online, and I go on, you know, a website that's filled with videos for, you know, your particular, you know, plaisirs.
What are you doing here? There's a dance.
I'm looking at porn.
Oh.
And I realize that they are, you know, a freelance top or freelance bottom. And I was like, well.
Okay.
Okay. You know, cool.
Get in where he fits in.
But that's not where the problem is.
No.
It's not really like a problem. It's where the mess come in. Mm. Because then I'm like, okay, well, if he did porn, that's cool.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, there's a porn-based company in Buffalo. Like, there's a Buffalo-based porn company. So, of course, I did my research. And then I found out that, you remember Grandma Grandpa?
Yeah.
So, her good Judy, her good homegirl, another doll, runs a whole production company.
Oh.
And is there filming the boys get it on with the other boys. And if you ever listen, Chrome Boys Entertainment with the K. Go look it up, gays and women who are interested in gay porn, because there's a lot of you.
Yeah, they are.
And there are, which we'll talk about in a minute. You know, I mean, it's Christmas. It's okay to talk about gay shit. So, she's like filming the dolls. And if you ever look on a Chrome Boys Entertainment video, you can hear a woman's voice.
Oh.
Filming.
So, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
So, he identified as...
Oh, he was not getting... he was not having sex with the creator of... Well, not that I know of. Of the porn company. I just know that he doesn't.
Oh, no. He worked for the company.
Yeah,
my
but
question.
How you tell me you DL and you do porn?
Well, that was my question, actually.
In a
I'm
house.
Like, I was, I'm like, was his face filmed?
Yeah, you can, I can show him to you. I have to go find him, but I'll show him to you.
So his face was filmed, and yet he thought nobody was going to run across
Buffalo
it.
Was a weird place, let me tell you. So, you know, the whole XD experience was based off of me getting back off of somebody else because they broke up with me in a text message. So, when broke up with me, said, oh, I met somebody and they're not as out and open as you are. And I'm like, okay, so you done found the trade.
Okay.
Found complete opposite. That nigga is in a house. That was a lady. Nails used to steal from that nigga too. And so that's when he came back and did all that stuff for me. He was like, yo, I'm so sorry. I was like, how dare you? Not to say I'm femme shaming.
Where's he at now?
Like, you can't tell me, you know, like, you're too out there for me, and then all of a sudden you get somebody who is X, Y, and Z. That doesn't make sense. Just like that nigga who said, he said, oh, I'm DL, but you are on the apps. I see your face.
I'm just confused by the exposure of.
Listen, people who identify as DL is so strange to me. Because I'm always, because it's never.
What down or low.
It's never though either of those. It's dusty and I don't know what the L would be. But like, nah, I don't. It's just so odd. And I bet you, if you talk to any one of your gays, they will tell you a weird DL story about a nigga who thinks he's DL but not.
Question. Sister, y'all can help me. I just learned this new term. I just learned this, just found this out. DL, brothers on the DL. You guys heard this? Yeah. Some girl came to me, oh, you on the DL? I'm like, what the hell is that? On the down low? I'm thinking she asking for direction somewhere, but right? Then she told me what it was. I'm like, well, if I told you, it wouldn't be on the DL anymore.
Hell, even your friends have been like, oh, you know, they try to pull off the boy thing, and you, and in the back of your mind, even if it's problematic or not, I know you have said girl.
No.
It's okay. I'll say it for you.
The only time that has happened, the only time that's happened where I feel comfortable enough telling y'all that I was like, baby, was one of them nights at Desire. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember Desire? It's the bar that XD and I spoke about that I would go to on Thursdays, mm-hmm. you know, before I knew better than to be up in spaces that didn't belong to me. And but you know, I wasn't trying to take up no space, but still, you know, let the boys have their space. But anyway, I would be up in there, and it was this one nigga one night.
Also had food. It was different.
It was different.
It's not like you went to like the club.
No, nigga. And then the bartender was straight, and all my shit was free. It was like, why would I go somewhere and pay for liquor? So, you know, I was in Desire one night, and it was a real crowded night, and it was me and all of my friends.
Sexy drag queen.
I feel like it was you and Bubbles and like now January 6th and like I feel like it was a whole gaggle of us. Oh yeah, nigga. Oh yes.
Let's talk about that afterwards.
Okay.
That came up in conversations.
So yes, you all heard me right. Now January 6th. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's we know one. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the corner of Desire, you know, just drinking my ratty ass drink at the time and minding my business. And a nigga tries to holler at me, which had never happened in there before. And I was like, whoa, this is supposed to be a safe space for me.
Right.
So
I came here for a reason.
But what made it
from you?
You know, this nigga was trying to talk to me and I was like, do you know where you are? But he did know where he was, and how I knew he knew where he was is because his eyebrows were better than mine. And he's really laying it on thick. And I had to lean in and be like, you don't like what I have. You don't want me. And no, this is not bi erasure. You know what I'm saying? The nigga liked niggas. But it was very apparent, and it was like, I think you should stop right now, because you're embarrassing yourself and others. So, that is one time where I've had somebody attempt, and I've been like, what in the hell is going on here? It's confusing.
Just like when I've had studs hit on me, and I've been like, oh, Right. Or like confusing.
When I've had studs hit on me and it's like, whoa.
See, that's different for you.
No.
Because I get it for me, the opposite sex is a little weird. Because it's like, because we're completely gender diametrically opposed, right? But it's weird because I don't necessarily lean all the way on the feminine side, right? But then the studs typically lay on the hypermasculine side. So, like, when I used to go to the pier off West 4th, I used to have a crush, and who I thought was a boy, like, they looked like what Chris Brown should look like before, like, the meth and the abuse. So, right. I was in love. And, like, they used to go to, like, the club. But then, you know, the clubs back then were for everybody.
Yeah, they were.
So then, this is before they had like, Slate and, like, Ladies Who Love Ladies Nights. Or that I, you know, which one time me and Kid Fury tried to get into and they were like, no.
But I'm a lesbian!
We were trying to convince because we left the punk function to go there. And they were like, no. Rats.
This is a safe space, fellas.
And we were like, we know. That's why we're trying to go inside. We're
trying to get in. Please.
Please, we
made
it here.
It's that's like when I had to leave the wonderful party to go to Davenport's.
Oh.
I was so bad. Oh, what the? Was it Davenport's? Is it Davenport's? On Atlantic and Franklin.
No, it's not there anymore.
But that's what it was called, right?
No.
Start with a D.
Y'all know what I'm talking
about.
Hold on,
let me make a phone call.
It's not the lab. It's
no. It's it start with
it's
a
the
D.
The one that's further down.
It's the one that looked like it's
on, the it's, one that the nigga went on hunger strike before it closed.
Hold on, I'm finna tell you. Hi, question for you real quick. I'm in the middle of recording. What's the name of the bar that we used to... the one that you left me when I was at the wonderful party and...
the one that's down the street from the
that was
the
on
lab,
Franklin
right?
And Atlantic.
And tell them I said hi because he know.
Yes, you remember we was at the wonderful party and you left me to go to that one... The gay bar that's on Atlantic and Franklin.
Tell him, nigga.
Langston's.
There you
thank
go.
You.
There
you I go. Kept calling it Davenport's. Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Yes, Langston's. Because Langston's. The owner is actually not called Langston's. It has a different name. And the right before it closed, the owner went on a hunger strike, trying to keep it open.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of sad because the gays just kind of paid it and just let him, you know.
Langston's was, you know what, it wasn't a space that I needed to be in.
It wasn't the space that I needed to be in.
Yeah, but you know, I used to hang out with older gays.
It was like DC's fireplace. Like, at least with at Langston's, it was a bunch of old older Caribbean men, and they used to like to buy you drinks and get you liquored up and try to, you know, do something strange.
I ended up it. So Langston's, for those who don't live here, Langston's is. It's a bar that looks like the... It's right next to, like, an auto shop. So you already know how all that looks. It just...
It's on the auto row. Like, it...
Yeah.
It, that's why they closed it, because it's very inconspicuous, and people used to get attacked over there.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's dark over there. There's no lights.
Except yeah.
Except for the train. For the... Long Island Railroad, but go
and
on.
And that ain't really... No, that was it. I was just explaining what it looked like so niggas knew, so that the one night that he left me at the wonderful party, and then I ended up leaving the party after a while, because the nigga I was supposed to go with ghosted me.
Let's talk about the gay QAnon after we come back.
Oh my God, yes, let's take a break.
And we'll be back after these messages. Hit it, Claude.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
It's a paradox that racial housing, it highlights the divisions it tries to disappear. And I think that draws attention on a larger scale to how we think of race a little bit, in the sense that it is not a biological truth, it is a social construct, but it is an incredibly powerful one. And the...
And we're back. From Christmas to gay shit, it's Jaden XD. we know someone, who was once an ally. Well, first of all, once a part of the community slash ally because of who they were.
See, that's why you guys saw that ally word is just like that damn cookout shit.
Mm-hmm. Again, like my grandmother says all the time, they cool until they do what? Get white on
you. White on you. Let me tell you something. Burn this whole mother... Burn it down. Burn down your cookout. Burn down your allyships. Mm-hmm. They don't exist.
They don't. Hey, they don't.
Accomplices, nigga. Get in front of me in Portland.
You defend crack before me.
Okay. And, like, I want to see you stand on the line and scream, fuck 12 in the face. And I want to see you do it.
That's like, so grandma, grandpa.
Yeah.
She tells a story. She has a whole rant about
how. I want to meet grandma, grandpa so bad. Like, I really do.
Yeah. She has this rant about being a pioneer of the community. She's like, I paved the way. I told the trade, shoot me.
Please. Please. What is wrong with her?
I love her. She's down.
Do you still talk to her?
I haven't talked to her in a very long time, but I'm going to reach out to her.
And you need to. Yeah, reach out to her. See what she's up to. How's she doing?
Yeah, I haven't seen her on the socials, so I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, check on her.
Find her.
But we knew someone, somebody that we used to know.
Yeah,
went to high school with niggas. Went to all school with niggas. Grew up around niggas. Niggas was all they friends. Went to niggas' spots. Married a nigga. Like,
yeah.
And then,
the events in Washington have taken a violent and tumultuous turn in the past few months.
Out of the clear green sky,
supporters of President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol building, venting their anger at the victory of Joe Biden in the presidential election. They forced the evacuation and lockdown of Congress itself.
Like, he was the homie, family, like, you know, literally.
And then, all of a sudden, all these little QAnon conspiracies start popping up. They start talking that yada yada. And niggas was like, and before we knew it, we was looking up and a nigga was filling up pots in their house with water from the tub because of, you know, the prophetic QAnon dates of when things would happen. Including January 6th. That was the only one that actually happened. And that's because y'all niggas planned it.
Yeah.
And then you circulated it. Like, and you knew it was going to happen.
You, a white liberal gay who ends up marrying a black man, all of a sudden turns into, you know, the Grand Wizard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was so...
It was so wild, you all. It was like, it wasn't even a white person you would expect, if that makes any sense, because that sounds a bit like an oxymoron, but it wasn't even really a white person you would expect. It was kind of one where even all us niggas was like, what? Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? Like, that came up, like, so Ade and I were walking the other day, and we were talking about like interracial dating and how that is a thing here in Los Angeles. There's a well, you know. You know, the niggas out here don't like niggas that much. Mm-mm. And that's non-gender specific.
Oh, not at all.
And so I was, and so that came up. And so I was just like, how do you deal with, like, if I'm married to a person and they, like, all of a sudden just turn? Like, I've been in a situation where I was dating somebody and then they sprung race play on me and I was like, yeah, nah. So, like, I know how I dealt with that, and that wasn't that. Too much, but we don't have, well, I wasn't married to the person, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you gotta kill them in their sleep. That's the only way. That's the only way.
Yeah, because
you gotta be like that lady on Snap who poisoned her husband and then put him in a storage container and put her in, she was a chemist, and she put him in this tube and she put all this acid and shit in there so his body would decompose, and then she put that barrel in a storage unit.
That ain't the same one that was underneath the
Nope, that's a different one.
That's another episode.
That's the one where the man was cheating on his wife, and then she was with an immigrant. It was a pregnant immigrant. And then he put her in the thing, and she was living up under the house for a long time so that the wife would never know that she got pregnant. And her homegirl was like, oh my God, where's my amiga? Oh my God, speaking of race shit. So I watched Passing on Netflix. Did you watch it? First of all, it was written by a white woman. Did y'all know that?
my sensibilities will not allow me to watch
it. I had to. I said, now what's Tessa Thompson doing? Let me go.
I've been watching Gay Ratchet web series.
That's real.
Last couple of days.
I'm not mad at that. That's self-care. Yeah. I don't know what I was doing, but I put it on.
So how was that?
It was written by a white woman.
Classic?
It was interesting. It's based off a book. But it wasn't that. It was a slow burn. It's an interesting watch. It's not a bad watch. It's an interesting watch. So spoiler alerts. You know, so if you ever feel like you're going to watch this and for whatever reason you think that you need to be surprised by a fucking Netflix movie called Passing, you know, do whatever you need to do. What? So,
Passing, a documentary about kidney stones.
Passing, a small docuseries about going home to be with your things.
Passing, travel docuseries starring Stanley Tucci and Nicole Byer.
Passing, a documentary about the intestine system. How you're.
By David
and Gilbert Gottfried. When it moves like this, that's called gas.
Daughter, stop fucking on the floor too, and the dog is pissing on them. Then the mother turns around and starts blowing the sock. The father starts fist fucking the daughter in the ass. And the father, just for your information, is an
ass. Ooh, okay.
Oh.
Ah. And so it's Tessa Thompson. So Tessa Thompson got this homegirl she grew up with. And so, you know, she's in a restaurant. They live in New York. And she's in a restaurant somewhere else that's not Harlem, which is where she lives, which is, you know, where all the niggas were just basically centrally located at the time. Mm-hmm. So if you said you lived in Harlem, they knew what time it was. Yeah. So, you know, Tessa Thompson.
The 1930s, like Harlem Renaissance.
Yeah, era. Like, yeah, it's during the Renaissance era. So Tessa Thompson's in this restaurant, don't know why, and she's just, you know, having a little meal by herself. She got a hat all the way down or whatever, and this lady comes in who I don't know how. They could have got like a Sarah Jane, you know, a la Imitation of Life. You know what I'm saying? Y'all should have got the bitch from Pretty Little Liars, because I heard she part black and would have never known it. You know what I'm saying? Just somebody like that. But imagine if they put imagine if they put a cute little coif of a curl wig on me.
Someone Photoshop Jay with an Eddie wig. Quick.
And I'm in this restaurant and I go to my homegirl from school or the neighborhood or whatever, and I'm like, bitch, what you doing here? I ain't seen you in years. And she's like, what you doing here? And it's like, I'm married to a white man, but he don't know I'm white. Yeah, the whole movie would just stop. Bitch, what? I was looking at her and I said, now how does he not know? So there's things that continue to happen in the movie. The man goes, so the man, you know, Tessa Thompson meets the man. The man don't have no clue Tessa Thompson's black either. Or maybe he, I don't know. Maybe he did, I don't know. No, he didn't, because his wife saying something, he said something about niggas. And she's like, oh, you don't like? And he's like,
No. I just realized who's in this movie. So wait, so you mean to tell me that Ruth Negga is supposed to be passing in this movie, and so she's
Ruth Negga, yes,
she's Negga, yeah. Ruth Negga, nigger is in the name,
yeah,
it
yeah.
is not. She is Negro,
yeah. What's her? Who is she for real?
Ruth Negga, she actress, wasn't she in Damn it, now it's gonna bug me. She's very black.
Google it. But that's the bitch who's supposed to be passing, right? So she's married to this white man. At one point, the white man goes, something about black people. She goes, oh, and Tessa, oh, you don't like black people. And he's like, oh, no, I hate niggas. And him and his wife, Roof Nigga, go, and they laugh. And Tessa Thompson is bigly uncomfortable, and she goes home to her nigga ass husband and her nigga ass babies in Harlem. And then old girl realizes, like, I miss being a nigga a little bit, so I'm gonna go up to Harlem anytime I need a little taste of candied yams.
This Negress queen right here.
She, her. Yes. She hurt. So you know, yes, that Negro queen there was passing, right, with her white husband. So she just said, I need a taste of nigga. So she goes up to Harlem and just knocks on Tessa Thompson's door. Well, hello, I missed you when I saw you, so I thought I'd come up for a visit. And Tessa Thompson's like, bitch, well, all right, come on in and have some tea. Because, you know, they all talk with that little SH thing. I don't know what that was all about. I'm like, well, come on in then. And so then, you know, she starts showing up at the crib all the fucking time. She had all the parties, all the family functions. At a certain point, it's like, well, where are you and your lily ass white baby and your husband? And then you know what her husband says to Tessa Thompson? Well, I don't. Not Tessa Thompson's husband. Ruth Nigga's husband. He says, you know, I swear she was just as white as cream of wheat when I met her, but she just gets darker and darker every day. So I start calling her Nig. And that's her nickname, for her husband's nickname for her. Nig. And Tessa Thompson said, oh my God, I've got to go home. And then at the end, he finds out she's a nigga and that she's been lying. And it was like the scene from Imitation of Life, but on steroids. Because remember when the white boy was in the alley and he was like, oh, man, Sarah Jane, I heard a rumor. She's like, what you hear? And he's like, I heard you were a nigger. And he goes off. It was like that, but it was worse. And he ends up somehow pushing her out the window, and the bitch falls and dies. And that was the movie.
Ruth Negga falls and dies.
So yeah, essentially Ruth Negga meets Tessa Thompson. She latches herself onto her life. Tessa Thompson's children and husband all become obsessed with Ruth Negga. So it'd be like, fuck Tessa Thompson. When's Ruth Negga coming over for dinner? And then Ruth Negga keeps coming over to the point where Tessa Thompson's like, mm-mm, I don't like this. And then, you know, but she still keeps coming over. And then her husband finds out she's a nigga, and he comes blasting into the party. And remember, this is also during the Prohibition, I think. He comes busting up in the party, and he's like, oh my God, you're a nigga! Pushes her out the window, and she dies.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Work.
That was passing. A Christmas miracle.
Well, that's all I got for today.
Oh, no. We can't end on that note.
Yes, we can. That is a horrible, horrible Netflix. As much as I want y'all to pick us up, man, I don't know about that. Like, I don't. That sounds.
It was written by a white lady.
Okay, there's a bunch of things that are written by white people that are enjoyable. That is just not one of them.
Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They do oppression right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I just love how white people love to write about like shit like this. Like, but
Pamela Sandberg wasn't in it, was she?
I think she was in the background. She should have been the Ruth Negga. Might as well put a Babbler there.
That would have made more sense, honestly.
You know, a Zendaya.
Yeah. A lot of somebody.
Just no, somebody. She, no, no, hard. No, no. Hardy Jeez. R. Hardy R. Yeah. Hardy R. But I told you, they could put me in the with these locks. They could have put me in a motherfucking movie. Nigga, I could have been passing. Hell, you could have. Right. They put a little blonde wig on you. You could have done it too, shit.
Like Clayton Bigsby.
Oh my God, what if we did it a passing skit?
Oh yeah, it would be like, it'd be like a Busta Rhymes style, had like a Blue Side complex. Like it has to be super ironic, like how they think Jadakiss is white. Oh. Busta Rhymes is married to like Jennifer Gardner, and she thinks he's white for some reason.
But all their kids look like Ella May.
And so he go over to Jadakiss's house. And he married to like, I don't know, somebody white. I guess, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it'd have to be so completely obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. Completely I see obnoxious. It. I see it for us.
Passing starring Cynthia Erivo and Whoopi Goldberg.
Passing like, starring in Ketchum Diallo.
Yeah, and Tempest Bledsoe.
Surprise appearance. Guest appearance by Keisha Not Puyo. Oh, God, this is the end of the episode. We're done. Yeah.
Because it gets really dark and talks about race.
Oh my God.
Anywho, thank you all for listening. We will see you all next time. Make sure you sign up for the Patreon for the $7 holla. And we out. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, we're moving.